Why car sharing companies are adding bikes to their fleets. Here's a hint. There's too many cars on the road. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. On any given afternoon in San Francisco, traffic is at a standstill. But lots of other wheels are on the move, and not just our famous trolley cars. On the city's Embarcadero Street, which runs along the waterfront, the cars are being passed by pedicabs.
Down to the ballpark today, guys.
And unicycles and skateboards on the sidewalk. And more by fleets of bikes and scooters that people can use an app to rent, ride around for a short trip, and lock them up when they get wherever they're going. Ryan Jepetsky is the CEO of Jump Bikes. Last month, Uber bought his company, so people who use the Uber app can either hail a car or borrow a bicycle with a small electric motor on it. It's part of a wave of investment in two-wheeled transportation that includes scooters and bikes of all types. But now they're clogging up sidewalks, endangering pedestrians, and of course, collecting your data. Here's Jepetsky.
Yeah, I feel like we're at the birth of a new industry, which is really exciting. You see a ton of investment from a lot of different players right now, investing in electric bikes and electric scooters, and really shifting away from large, heavy, expensive automobiles. And there's going to be some growing pains where people are used to having cars on the street, but they're not used to seeing all these new vehicle types around. So there's a bit of a learning curve, but there's a huge opportunity to change how people travel in cities.
How can you help with that learning curve? Because, you know, we see people riding around without helmets or on the sidewalk instead of the street, which I think is where you're supposed to have your bike.
There's definitely some education for the users. The bigger threat to both bicyclists and pedestrians is cars, though. A lot of cities now are working on Vision Zero, which is reducing car crash fatalities with a goal of eventually having zero. Generally, when you shift people to bikes, it's a safer mode for everybody.
Although this is also bike with an electric boost.
It is, but the top speed is 20 miles an hour, which is comparable to what you could do if you're really exerting yourself on a regular bike. And I noticed that most novice users just kind of putt along around 10 to 15.
So tell us about the relationship with Uber. You started out in a partnership and now Uber has acquired Jump. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So, I think Uber saw that some of their existing customers were taking the bikes rather than cars for some of these trips. Our average trip length is 2.6 miles, which is actually very similar to trip lengths for Uber in cities. And it made sense to put the two pieces together.
Well, it's interesting because one of the concerns, I guess, about Uber and Lyft is that they've added a lot of cars to the road. Do you think that they saw you as first competition and then complementary?
I think that there is a big opportunity here where one of the primary criticisms is this congestion claim, which I think that the overall society benefit of having rideshare is a net reduction of automobile usage. But that is one of the criticisms. And there is this opportunity to shift people out of those car trips and onto bikes very directly, where if you're in the app, you can see, okay, this is how much it's going to cost and how long it's going to take in a car, and this is what it's going to cost and how long it's going to take on a bike. So I think there's a direct impact there. There's an understanding that there may be some amount of trips that are shifted from the cars to the bikes, but Uber's been really good over the years about disrupting itself.
And then talk to me about data. I know my understanding is that part of that deal with the city was that you would provide real-time GPS, you know, location information. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that is a part of Uber's app already, location collection. Yeah. How much data are you collecting?
Yeah, so we really believe in sharing that data with cities to improve bike infrastructure so they can see where bikes are traveling and hopefully build out more bike lanes. You know, there is, we have to be mindful of users' privacy, and so that we're sharing the data in a way that's anonymized. But yeah, we have had a historical policy of being very open with cities with the data, and Uber has been supportive of that approach.
How are you communicating that to users?
In the privacy and data policy.
I mean, is it clear to users, you know, if I open up the app, am I going to see something that says, hey, listen, there's a GPS on this bike, I know this is something you're all worried about right now?
I think there's always been a bit more acceptance because people realize that this is a bike that we're tracking, this is our asset that we're tracking and that they are riding, which is different than tracking something that they own. The fact is that many apps and services or telecom providers have this type of data already. The fact that it's tracking our vehicle, generally more people have been accepting of that.
That's Ryan Jepetsky, CEO of Jump Bikes. The company's permit from San Francisco actually requires real-time location information about its bikes. But another bike share company that also applied for a permit said it was concerned that practice could violate user security and privacy. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.